The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
It's, you know, when basketball and hockey are going and just work and life kick in, you just kind of sometimes forget to press record on podcasts.
I gotta tell you, I'm very excited to talk about wrestling right now and not talk about basketball because I've done it every single day for the last month, as much as I love doing it and getting money for it. I need a break. So let's talk about wrestling and not about the 52nd pick in the NBA draft or the 31st pick in the NHL draft or who's traded for who or second round picks or salary caps. I'm done.
I just got to say, I had a nice, good nap during the NHL draft, and then Flames made their pick and then I didn't care. It just not announcing the salary cap. And just, I don't know, these drafts are just, I don't think they're worth the spectacle that they are. Like, I'd much rather
ratings.
Have...
I mean, it'd be great if, like, that's why I always love a good draft. That's why whenever WWE does their draft, it's always super exciting. Because it's always kind of great to speculate who's going with who and who's going where. But, you know, I think at least when related to the NBA draft last night, just where all the different picks were going and trades were going and people were wearing different hats, it can get a little bit exhausting.
Well, and like the NHL, because of the not announcing the salary cap, there were no trades really at all.
Yeah.
And it was super dry. It's dry. I just, like I said, I had a nap, saw who the Flames picked, and then I carried on with my life.
Well, the good thing is we got that in professional wrestling. We don't have to worry about a salary cap. The unfortunate news is we have to start with some fortunate news, Joel.
Yeah, so there was a wrestler in the UK, Adrian Lionheart McCallum, has passed away. I'm not going to get into what the speculation is of how he passed away, but it's a sad, sad state that we're leading the show off with this, because this is never ideal. We've been fortunate since we've done this podcast. I think we've had way more shows starting positive than with this type of headline. But he played a big role in the UK, and you're seeing the outpouring from guys like Ospreay, from Noam Dar,
The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you say what you will about Rocky, and not to make it about The Rock, but the guy has never forgotten his roots. And as a guy, like, as big as he was for the UK, Lionheart wasn't massive to the international scene. But for Rock to take his time to just type those words and then reportedly send a message to his wife, just, I don't know, it just speaks to his character. And speaking of character, Lionheart apparently went in, this was a couple weeks ago, the facts are a little fuzzy for me, but he'd gone in and he saved someone from a burning building. Unfortunately, he couldn't save another person because of the heat and the fire, but he's apparently, you see a bunch of pictures of him doing stuff for hospitals and just playing a really big role over there. So that's definitely, you see that and you see just the impact that wrestling has. And you just see what these performers can do for someone. It's just, we're going to sit here and more than likely we're going to poke holes in WWE, and there's going to be rah-rah speeches at some point in this podcast. But at the end of the day, this is escape for so many people. And this is important. Like, wrestling's important to have around. And, you know, if you're going through something, you got to reach out. You got to find a way to reach out. As tough and as hard as that might be, you got to find a way, because there you see it now in the outpouring. This guy was universally loved from anyone that interacted with him, and just have to reach out. That's all you can do.
Yeah, he seemed like a very charitable guy, going to the hospital and taking care of sick children in Glasgow. So it is an unfortunate situation, and you're seeing his outreach. I had vaguely ever heard the name in the wrestling landscape, so I can't comment too much on him as a wrestler, but as far as what his peers have said, it seems to be nothing of glowing. I mean, only 36 years old ago. The guy's only 2 years older than me, so very sombering to see that. Very sad. That's, we had another one in the wrestling family that we have gone far too soon. And seemed like this guy, too, just for all the love and whatnot that he had, you look at what the wrestling landscape is becoming, and there's more and more opportunities to be in a bigger stage. And he had a WWE tryout. It looks like he competed against Nigel McGuinness, AJ Styles, Jeff Jarrett. So he faced some decently big names. It doesn't seem like he ever really got that next step to go to a big promotion, but you would think with someone so beloved in the way that the business is opening, that maybe it would have been a matter of time for him.
Yeah, absolutely. You see it where so many guys are getting opportunities now. We fantasy book about guys that go to AEW, but realistically the floodgates have opened for these guys, and they've got so many spots that they can work. And you don't have to feel like you have to make it to WWE. You can dominate the UK scene and be perfectly content. You could go to Japan and dominate there. If you want to go to WWE, then that's fine. If you want to go to AEW, then that's great. It's the landscape's opening up for so many guys, and you just got to think that there are other guys that can get more opportunities.
And apparently there's a GoFundMe because his family can't afford the funeral. So,
and they've already exceeded the...
Have they? Okay, good.
Yeah. So that is good. But what we'll do is we'll include the GoFundMe link in the podcast. Just for the sake, if there's even one person that can kick in a little bit of money, then that makes a difference for that family.
I will say this about Rocky, he doesn't have to go out of his way to say something about this wrestler that he never interacted with. It's something that's pretty fantastic about The Rock, of the fact that, he still can show his love to the wrestling industry for, losing someone that was a big name on the independent scene. And, Rock, obviously, having his roots in the independent scene as far as like when he was doing the Page movie and finding out what works there and what doesn't work. So pretty awesome of Dwayne to show the love.
Yeah, that, and you tip your hat to things like that.
All right, well, unfortunately with these, we've unfortunately had too many of these, and like we always say, there's no easy transition to that. So rest in peace to Lionheart. And Joel, what do we have to pivot to?
Oh, just a wedding. It was a wonderful wedding. It looked nice.
Nikki Cross and Killian Dane's wedding?
Well, that one didn't have a title on the line.
I know, but that was this week too.
Ah, so it was the day of weddings. But Drake Maverick finally, after his boob prosthetics fell out and drove away, he finally got his 24/7 title, and then he got married, and EC3 had the single cup with him while he was there being his best man. And R-Truth was a wedding crasher, and R-Truth got the 1-2-3 on Drake, and the wife's not happy. The wife's already threatening divorce for Drake Maverick.
Oh, geez.
She was saying that he's become obsessed with this 24/7 title.
So is that make Truth now a six-time champion?
I think so.
Wow. I will say, for like, it is funny. You and I stood pretty stand pat that we thought this title was a good idea and we liked it. And, for all the people that criticize it, they've turned around on it pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, it does great numbers for WWE on YouTube. R-Truth is one of your bigger stars going right now. And it's just, like, you look at the segment that R-Truth had on SmackDown where he tag-teamed with The Miz because he was hiding because he didn't want anyone to take his 24/7 title. And he just, Miz and R-Truth formed their team again, and They lost in a 2 out of 3 falls, which seems to be a common occurrence in WWE right now, but I digress. Apparently this was Drake Maverick that pitched it, and this was shot after the actual wedding. Thank God. Mm-hmm. And they loved it. Maverick's...
Yeah, her dress was a red dress, it looks like, afterwards, and like... She looks, obviously stunning as a bride. I didn't know that she was a wrestler for the company. I'm just looking at her Twitter right now from that tweet. So it's a much different dress than when the roll-up happens.
Yeah, and apparently Maverick, this was Maverick's idea. WWE loved it. Like, this is the thing that...
it's good shit. Like about...
It is. And you look at what a guy that had pissed his pants and was the manager for AOP, and that all fizzled out. Mm-hmm. And like, I like him as the GM for 205 Live. He just constantly finds a way to make things work for himself. Like, he constantly is working himself into things. I feel like they had no plans on doing anything with him. And then he created that 24/7 wanted poster for R-Truth. And that just snowballed there for him. And just, he won a championship in WWE. Can never take that away from him.
Did he win one in... Did Rockstar win one in TNA ever?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
There is the picture of Braun Strowman, EC3, and him, and I'm like... I know everyone's going to laugh at this photo, but I'm like, I actually kind of like this as a stable. I actually really like that as a stable.
Well, I mean, weekend at EC3's, or weekend at Bernie's, depending on what you want to call it. That little bit that they did with EC3 on SmackDown with the New Day was great. It was funny. It was, it's ways that you can get over and maybe start to build something up. Hopefully Vince sees more in EC3. Cause I mean, I still go back to that promo that he cut on Kurt about beating Phenomenal Ones and Heartbreak Kids and Dead Men. And it still was one of the better promos that I've heard. So the guy can go promo.
2-time X Division champion, by the way.
Oh, okay. So then he's
one of British title. Boot Camp winner, which I believe also had a little guy called Marty Skrull in that season. Yes, it did.
He's just dead now. They have a dead British friend on BTE.
Yeah. Who else was on there? The Blossom Twins, which I don't think became anything. Doesn't seem like outside of TNA, they never really did anything. The Blossom Twins. So it was Marty. So yeah, the cast was the Blossom Twins and then Marty and Rockstar.
Rockstar really made a good name for himself in WWE.
Mm-hmm. And Noam Dar was on there as well.
Yeah, and he's probably going to be going to NXT UK. And that's, I think he's a young...
And Nikki Cross was on there as well.
She's doing all right for herself.
And Viper.
I believe she's signed with NXT UK now. So. Yeah.
More known as Piper Nevin.
Pretty decent class there. I think Marty's the biggest star from there.
Mark Andrews was on there. He's on 205 Live, right?
Yeah, NXT UK 205 Live.
Arn Stone is on there. Grado was on there.
Oh, wow.
Allegro.
Yeah, he's NXT UK.
It's just funny how much talent passes through TNA, and they just... I remember watching British Boot Camp. Like, this is kind of a cool concept. I don't know if you ever watched it at all, Joel.
No.
But like, Marty was like Party Marty. He was like this douchebag on there that partied all the time. It's so such a different character than what he became.
Oh, I love the character that he is now. I wouldn't change it for the world.
You wouldn't think the villain was this party douchebag guy.
That's fantastic. Like, you just, the evolution of these guys in the career and the little nooks and crannies that they go into, and then you see where they kind of land and where things really get going. Like, this 205 Live thing with Maverick is a big deal. This wedding thing was a big deal. Like, hear that news, you want to see that clip, and that's the benefit of this title, and especially with social media, you can have... To me, if I'm WWE, I'm having title matches on IGTV. I'm having title matches on...
Up, down, down.
Yeah. I'm doing stuff on YouTube. I'm doing everything. I'm doing stuff everywhere and creating that feeling of, oh, well, maybe one of these days it'll show up where suddenly, say, WWE is streaming a live video and it's a video of R-Truth defending the title at the Hardy compound. You could do a bunch of different stuff with this that I think could just be wacky and wild, and just it's stuff that you don't have to take seriously. Like, you look, we're going to get to the G1 momentarily here, which is super serious, and there's not a lot of room for having fun and being silly with it. But with something like this, you can just go all over the place and just be downright stupid with it and be entertaining. That's the biggest thing. I'm being entertained by what they're doing.
Yeah, it has almost 2 million views. I was wrong, too. She's wearing the same dress she wore on her wedding day, but she plays the part really well. And 14 hours, almost 2 million views. So, doing something right.
Yeah. And I just got to say, I was impressed this week. I enjoyed both Raw and SmackDown this week. I thought it had a feeling of like, oh, this kind of feels like the WWE that I enjoy watching. I'm not enjoying the constant use of the 2 out of 3 falls, but that's a small gripe. Seth Rollins hunting people with steel chairs is enjoyable. Brian's promos are just give me more Brian. Seth and Brian need to have a 30-minute time limit draw match. That's what I need in my life. I just need those two to go full out for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just kickouts and near falls and just Brian doing crazy stuff and Seth doing crazy. It'd be fantastic. I feel like slowly but surely Seth is really starting to find his groove as one of your key players on Monday Night Raw.
And you were mentioning that AJ did something with the Good Brothers.
Yeah. AJ, it seemed like the resurgence of everyone that's disappeared from TV popped up. And they had something for them to do.
I wonder if you'll have something. Remember again, to bring up TNA, remember when TNA had that kind of giant, like, group meeting with everybody? And, like, AJ and Jeff and everyone called people out? I wonder if they had a meeting of talent and were like, now that AEW's here, and some of you are going to want to leave, but those that will stay, we need to do the best product possible, so what do you all want? I wonder if they did anything like that.
It very well could have, because it felt a little different. Ultimately, I'm expecting my heart to break and it to go back to status quo, because it always does with WWE.
Mm.
But AJ called out the Good Brothers. They want to see the and they called them a former IWGP heavyweight champions on TV. I know they have before, but just to hear it again now is like, oh yeah, these guys are really good tag team. So this may just coincide with the fact that they are having AJ and the Good Brothers team with Hunter to face Lashley, McIntyre, Corbin.
In Japan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Four-man tag team. I don't get why you just don't throw Finn in there, but I don't get to pick and choose things. So AJ's Hunter is now part of the club.
Apparently. Well, I mean, he did kind of help start that signal, so he gets some credit on it at least.
Yeah. What else did I enjoy from Raw and SmackDown this week? I don't know, it just felt like it had some fluidity to it. I don't know. And Kofi's been booked super strong. He hasn't lost in a long time, and he's constantly winning and he's constantly getting pinfall victories. He's not. I'm shocked that they haven't made him look like a dork.
Yeah, it does seem like, I mean, at least they're making their champions seem important.
I know.
Which is interesting, except for the tag titles, but that's, I think, why they got them off Zack Ryder and Hawkins.
Yeah. I have no problem with them sitting on the Revival shoulder. Less Shane McMahon, which is always a pleasant.
That's why I was better this week. You had no Shane.
Yeah, I think that's a big factor in it. God loves Shane and all the crazy things he's done over the years, but man, you can't have him clouding your TV.
No, and I before we get to the G1, because you're going to get to the G1 next, it does sound like one thing we didn't have in our notes that I'm just remembering. It did sound like some of the sound bites that Cena had, that he is really close to retiring. And that's, he just got big. The Fast and the Furious role. I think we've seen, like, the end of John Cena for a while. Like, unless it's a WrestleMania. I think that's where Cena is now.
I got to see Cena wrestle, so I'm good. And I got to see the Dr. Thuganomics come out for Mania, so I can say I've saw Cena wrestle. That's a big deal. Cena not being gone, because then that signals the end of that really signals the end of that era. The last one standing from that era is Orton, and Orton might not be there for long. So
no, he wasn't on TV this weekend. It seems like he's going to be facing Aleister Black, but I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where they go with Aleister Black. I hope they don't screw it up.
Yeah, I mean, I will say for the first time, not that I mean, just to note to everyone, I'm at the most casual viewing of it I've ever been, but it does seem like everybody kind of has their roles for the first. Like
Ricochet is getting over.
Yeah, like everyone's getting their roles, and it just seems the way that it kind of should be. Maybe the Ambrose podcast made people. I don't know, man. Maybe it's just a combination of a lot of things that made them look in the mirror. Who knows?
I still give it less than a month, maybe 2-3 weeks, and they'll revert back.
Yeah, I think so. And there's some pretty good stuff coming to the network as well.
Yeah, yeah, they had trailers, and that's one thing that WWE does better than anyone is those documentaries and those videos. Just when they want to produce quality content, they can spit it out in spades. Like the 365 with Bliss will be very interesting. Based
well, just
on
for her, the like, well, they finally admit that she had concussions on there.
Yeah, the piece on on Becky, that'll be.
They had one on Ronda too. They had one on Ronda. They had the Hunter one. I was after NXT. I really, really liked that Hunter one. It's one of my favorite ones they've ever done, to be honest. I really liked it. And there's one on Dave coming.
The 24 with Kofi, which I imagine will be very. I'm really interested to see that the night of Mania playing out again, but behind the scenes.
And there's a 365 on Seth coming.
I'm excited to see that as well. There's a lot
and
of good stuff
Bliss,
coming.
And 24 on Batista. So, yeah, good stuff coming.
I'm excited to watch.
And Bliss seems to be back healthy now, so that's good.
Yeah, that's what you want. That's absolutely what you want. You don't want anyone on the shelves because of health issues.
And we have a 24 on Kofi. Like, I think it's part of it is like him going back to Ghana, which is super cool. And so, yeah, they do a good job of all that. But you know who else does a really good job of everything is New Japan. And this G1 is going to be really fun and really interesting.
Well, you know what the best part is? Naito and Ibushi are not in the same block, so they can't kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
Until maybe the final. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
I don't want to give Mo any hints. Mo won last year for the G1. He can't win this year.
He's not beating us. I don't care if Mo's listening to this. You're not beating one of us. Maybe one of us, but not both of us.
And just Mo's going to stroll through this thing, and it won't even be a challenge for him.
So, July 6th, I'm not going to go through everything, but just kind of who's in each block here. So Block A has Okada and...
Oh, man.
Okay, we start with Okada and Tanahashi, and Obushi and Kenta, and Will Ospreay and Lance Archer, and Evil Bad Luck Fale, and Sonata and Zack Sabre. So right off the start, we're getting Kota Ibushi and Kenta and Okada and Tanahashi.
Yep, I'm... Sign me up. Sign me the hell up.
And then Block B, we got Juice Robinson versus Takagi. Tomohiro Ishii versus Jeff Cobb, Turiano versus T versus Naito, and then Gyoto versus Jay White, and Jayon Moxley versus Taguchi. Taguchi or Taguchi?
Something like that.
Right. Block A is mental.
Someone's going to die.
Yeah. Kota Ibushi versus Kenta is going to probably break the Dave Meltzer star rating system.
I Okada and Ibushi.
Tanahashi.
Oh, there's so much, man.
And this then July 14th in that block, Okada and Zack Sabre and Tanahashi Kenta.
This is going to be really hard to pick, and I don't want to give Mo any clues on where we're going or where I'm going on things.
Yeah.
Maybe throwing out distractions. This... I keep telling people that are wrestling fans that you should watch the G1 because it feels like sports and you're going to get sucked into it, and you're going to get passionate about this, because when you see what these guys go through about halfway through, you're going to be like, mother of God, they're all going to be held together by hairspray and duct tape.
Well, the CBS is covering it on their sports app. They were talking about it today, which I wanted to say for this podcast, but I thought it was really weird. I was listening to CBS radio and they're like, let's talk about the G1. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I love it. It has become my favorite thing. Like, I remember watching when Kenny won. I remember watching when Naito won. And then I remember watching when Tana won. And just each of those last three G1s have been so great and so enjoyable. And now this year, where you've got probably the wrestler of the year with Will Ospreay facing Okada, Tanahashi, Kenta, Ibushi again, just, oh man, this is going to be amazing. I am so excited.
It's going to be a good one, my friend. I'm very excited for it myself.
Well, you know, all this excitement, you kind of forget the one small little negative with this.
What's that?
So, if you go on New Japan World, all 19 performers are featured, except one. And by that's the name of Jon Moxley. Hmm. And Jon Moxley is not allowed to wrestle in the Dallas show because of who his contract's tied to. Which is one of my favorite promotions right now, Giant Joy, All Elite Wrestling. And there's anyone that's hoping for a New Japan AEW relationship, maybe SOL, because it doesn't sound like they're going to get along, and it doesn't sound like we're going to see any cross-pollination there.
Right. And well, and the I wonder, that's probably why, because Block A has that match in Dallas, but Block B is in Tokyo.
Yeah. Well, was the plan all along, but they definitely Block B typically has tag team matches to fill out the time for the show.
Right.
And Moxley's just not on it. And the AEW still have, Tony Khan and New Japan have to come to some sort of agreement if they're going to recognize Moxley as the U.S. champion.
Right.
On AEW television. So it's a shame, because I'd love for cross-pollination. But on the flip side, these guys can do these New Japan dates, and that's good. But if it means that AEW partners with a DDT or a NOAH or an All Japan Pro Wrestling, that's not such a bad thing. You get more exposure for the smaller a smaller company that could help build up bigger names.
It could. I wonder if they'll ever kind of if AEW and them are ever come to an agreement on anything. But I guess for now, as far as the states go, but I guess for now you just kind of go with what you go with. I will say, you and I had some doubts about what they would have going to the United States, and I think what they have in Block A is kind of the results of that. But do we still think them not having, you know, Kenta's a big name, Bushi's a big name, Tanahashi, Okada, Will Ospreay, do we still think, though, that as exciting as this is, and you're getting Okada, Tanahashi, you know, Bushi and Kenta in the states, do we still think that not having a Kenny Omega and the Bucks in that card is going to hurt them as far as selling tickets in the states? Because what's the, you know, we're about 3 weeks away from that show. Do we have you heard anything about the tickets at all?
No, I haven't heard if they've moved quicker or not. I know that they struggled selling before they announced anything. I imagine you'll see some movement. I don't know if Dallas was the right place to do the show.
It's a big arena, man. That's where the Stars play.
Yeah.
And the Mavericks.
You lose guys like Kenny and the Bucks, and that hurts it.
It's a big arena. That's I don't know if they're going to be able to sell it out.
I don't know either. But, you know, the big thing with all of this is this is also a reflection of Ring of Honor right now. I constantly see updates on the lack of tickets that are being sold in Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think that's bleeding to Japan a little bit, because I think if you had a solid Ring of Honor, like maybe two or three steps up from what you have right now, like good Ring of Honor, I feel like ticket sales would be a little bit better off, because you could hype up something for that ring, the G1 plus a Ring of Honor match. But Ring of Honor is really suffering right now. So it's going to be interesting how this all plays out.
Well, I think it's a big thing of draws and whatnot. And I think like AEW, well, they did it. I think we all have to still appreciate that just because AEW did it and because ROH and New Japan did it for that day, I think if New Japan and ROH did that any other time of the year, I don't think they sell at MSG, in my opinion. I think it being Mania weekend helped amplify it. And also, when they sold those tickets, it did help the people thought they had the Elite with the, on that roster.
Yeah, that was a big deal. That was absolutely a big deal.
And then, I mean, when you bought your tickets, did you have a knowledge of the Elite being there?
Well, the two people they had advertised was Okada and Marty.
Mm-hmm. They never advertised Kenny.
No. Because they didn't know. They didn't know what was happening with all of them. And when you sit there and you look at it, like I bought the ticket partially because this was historic and I was going for Mania. I was more going for the Ring of Honor Japan. The fact that I got to see guys from Japan wrestle in MSG was what sold me on the whole trip. And you look at it, I thought that was a serviceable back half of the card when you got to the Japan side of things and the ROH hardcore match, well, ladder match, TLC, whatever you're going to call it. I thought the back half of the card was really good, and seeing Suzuki, Juice and Thunder Liger, and Muda was also really cool. The Enzo thing still bugs me.
Yeah, it was so Bush League, and they never really were able to make up for it. And I mean, coincidentally, it just kind of went on the same time as the Brett stuff too, which, you know, weirdly people have put two and two together with.
Yeah, it's wild.
So we'll see what happens with everything as far as OH goes. A lot of contracts of theirs run out at the end of the year, so that's going to be very interesting as well, yeah, with all that.
Ring of Honor's could very well look very different heading into 2020 and onward.
They could. All right, so we get to Stomping Grounds.
Let's get to the biggest show of the year.
The boot. It's a boot. Yeah, everyone's super excited for Stomping Grounds. Aren't you, Joel?
So excited. Let's just party.
All right, so Daniel Bryan and Rowan versus Heavy Machinery for the SmackDown tag titles,
and the YOLO titles are on the line as well. This is title unification, Josh.
Okay, so since I'm a little bit out of the loop, you're gonna have to fill me in what the YOLO titles are.
It was some cardboard titles that Heavy Machinery won. And
where do they win them?
On SmackDown.
Okay.
Maybe some jobbers. The theory was WWE was doing it was to show how shitty everything is outside of WWE, and nothing else matters except WWE. Hmm. So you got to keep the gold around Bryan, right?
Yeah, I would assume they'd have a bigger match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, put over them in a bigger stage.
I mean, now that any tag team can go anywhere, like what where technically is Heavy Machinery a SmackDown roster even?
I don't know. The wild card rule sucks. I'm just going to say that right now. Wild card rule sucks.
He is a SmackDown wrestler. So at least, like, everyone in this match are SmackDown wrestlers.
That's positive, at least.
Yes. So, yeah, I have Bryan and Rowan winning this. I think they're going to be going and having a much better match as we go forward. But it's good for Heavy Machinery making a card and all that. And, you know, Otis seems to be getting over, so.
That's a big thing. Just you need to just slowly but surely get over.
Triple threat match for the Cruiserweight Championships. I've been hearing really good things about 205 lately.
Tony really enjoyable.
Tony Nese, Tozawa, and Drew Gallagher. We should notice, too, that the Canellises also re-upped and got a new WWE contract.
Yep, they're sticking around.
And they've been one of the better parts of 205 Live, I've heard.
They have. They have.
So who do you got winning this one, Joel?
I think it's Gulak's time.
I think it's Nese because I think eventually he's going to lose to Gable.
I think it's Gulak, and then Gulak will Gable may take it off Gulak.
All right, we go to a tag match, just a normal tag match of the New Day versus KO and Sami Zayn.
KO can't win more shit anymore, so.
Yeah, I think they're just going to ride the New Day wave for a little bit longer here. Samoa Joe versus Ricochet for United States Championship. Ricochet won this in an elimination match.
Joe is going to win it, but it's going to be a fun match.
I think Ricochet is going to win it. And then they're going to go to Extreme Rules, and Joe's going to beat the living shit out of him.
That's possible as well. That's actually very possible as well.
Ziggler versus... Oh, no, we're going to not do that one yet. Lacey Evans versus Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship.
Becky?
Yeah, I think Becky holds on to it a little bit longer.
Thank God.
Bayley versus Bliss for the SmackDown Championship.
Bliss is healthy. They're going to want to put the title on her right away.
Yeah, I said Bliss winning too. Although it seems like they've rehabbed Bayley to a point, but you know, you could do this idea of Bliss wins the title, and if Sasha's ever coming back, that's how you bring Sasha back. Because there is the rumored real-life feud between her and Bliss. There's a lot of heat there. She's avenging Bayley losing the title. That's the most heat you're going to get to bring Sasha back. If she's coming back. She was practicing monkey flips the other day.
She could be making a return for SummerSlam.
She could be. If she was going to come back, I think that makes the most sense. I don't know. Roman and Drew McIntyre for the 50,000th time. Roman Reigns wins this.
Yeah, I don't think this is one of those matches you see and you know exactly who's winning. You could go to Wikipedia and put Roman Reigns defeats McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to get to face the best in the world after beating McIntyre.
Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler in a steel cage for the WWE Championship.
Kofi wins only so that when Shane beats him and wins the title, it'll be a big deal.
Yeah, unfortunately. And then
would that be the nail in the coffin for your watching for a bit if Shane has the
title? I mean, it's already there. Like, all things noticed, this is the first time I've looked at a WWE card and in probably 10 to 15 years and been like, I don't know everything that's going on. I know the people that are in this, but like when you're like YOLO titles, I'm like, oh yeah, cool. And look, part of that is I have a new job that I'm working right now. I'm doing a lot of basketball stuff right now, so my viewing hasn't been there as much. When free agency slows down, maybe I'll be able to get back into it a little bit more. But nonetheless, it is weird looking at a card and be like, huh. But yes, I think if Shane were to be the WWE champion, it would pretty much even annihilate my random YouTube watching.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to him being champion. I hope it doesn't happen.
I hope so, too. I mean, part of me, like, it's weird because, like, I would love Ziggs to have this moment again. I just don't see it. I just think he's kind of fodder to whatever Kofi's doing at SummerSlam.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? All the credit to WWE. Again, you built Kofi up. So I thought it was going to be a Rey Mysterio situation. But it hasn't been.
By the way, I could also see with the Bliss situation that Nikki could screw her over.
Yeah, Nikki wants to play.
Yeah, or I can ultimately see Bliss wins the title. There is no Sasha stuff. Who gives a shit about Bayley? She's pushed aside, and then we get Bliss and Nikki eventually.
That's option C.
Seth Rollins versus Baron Corbin for the WWE Championship with a special guest referee.
So the special guest referee hasn't been revealed yet, but it'll probably be Paul Heyman.
It's going to be Shane. It's going to be Shane.
Oh.
Or maybe Shelton. Shelton was teasing it. I was like, give Shelton something. But no, it'll probably be Paul Heyman.
I've told you what I think that this match is going to be for the last 2 weeks without even really knowing a lot on TV. I think Seth is losing this match in some dastardly way. Corbin's going to win the WWE Championship and be WWE Champion for, I don't know, a minute or so before Brock cashes in on him. And then we have Brock and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. Drink it in, people. Just accept it. Joel's trying to tell me I'm wrong, but he knows I'm right.
Baron Corbin will be WWE champion. And then Brock Lesnar will win. And then his biggest feud will be with a SmackDown superstar.
Yep. But in other news, at least Fyter Fest is free, is next week. It's not free for us in Canada, but it kind of is for me because signing up for Fight TV for the first time. But hey, we got Fyter Fest next week on the bright side of things.
And the G1 starting soon. So not all is lost.
No, not all is lost. Good things are coming, my friends. So there it is.
Yay.
Stomping ground. I mean, I think the cage match could be fun. Cage match is always good. I think Joe and Ricochet is really going to be the match that steals the show, though, of course. Yeah. And I think Brian can have a really fun match with Heavy Machinery, and the 205 match should be good as well.
Yeah, no, I think there's going to be some okay matches on here. But ultimately, this is all just a rehash of things. I don't feel like things are moving forward.
No, I have a buddy that was going to Portland for his bachelor party. And he was going to make a stop in Tacoma. They bought tickets for Stomping Grounds. And the minute after that abomination of a show happened, that Super Showdown Blood Money show happened, they returned their tickets when they saw the card for this. And they're back pretty fast, Joel. Like, they're back July 14th.
Holy crap.
Like, that's... So they go, it'll be the, what will it be by the time they do this? So it'll be the 19th. Well, no, it won't be the 19th. I'm not looking at the right dates. I'm all whacked. It'll be the 23rd next week when they do this. And then they have 2 Sundays off before they're back at it.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And then it's not even a month until SummerSlam after that. Which I was going to attend, but I will no longer be going to.
Yeah, I don't think... For all we know, it could be the greatest SummerSlam of all time.
Could be. Sold my tickets. I'm going to go see Lion King on Broadway.
Not bad.
Yeah, it should be okay. Watch Vince McMahon come out. He's like, nah, Mustafa. You got to do the job way better.
Here's the promo. You got to say pooper scooper.
It's good shit. You're not going to come out as a cloud. We're going to come out with something better. Maybe have like a silly hat on or something. God damn it.
No, you got to have a mask and tell everyone
to have a mask.
And get a needle in the ass.
Oh, my one thing on this is the Bray Wyatt segment I thought was really, really good, really spooky, and I wouldn't be shocked if some way he's involved with this show.
Can he just take the 24/7 title to his... The Firefly Funhouse, please.
I want Pig to take it. I want Husky to take it.
That'd be great. And Rambling Rabbit's okay. We don't have to worry anymore.
For now.
I hope that gimmick works live.
Well, we'll see. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to our half-assed... Jericho thinks he has a half-assed stomping ground review. You haven't seen One Falls yet.
We top it.
And also just best wishes to Dana Brooke. She's been working her ass off, and it really sucked to see her get injured.
Yeah, that was pretty gnarly. But we've just seen,
like, you know, like, look, is she the greatest wrestler in the world? No, but she's been working her butt off, and it's unfortunate that she got hurt. You know, so you can respect. It kind of reminded me at the end, like Summer was working her butt off. So, and. Yeah, and we got the first public acknowledgement of Corey Graves and Carmella. I know Joel doesn't want to touch that with a 50-foot pole, so we're not going to. And, we'll be back here. Mojo Riley has signed a new contract with WWE, so there's that as well. But we'll be back here next week for all the fallout of WWE Stomping Ground, and then we get to talk about Fyter Fest and the big match featuring Michael Nakazawa.
That's the money match.
So until next time, everyone, cheers.
All you have to do is let me in.
Enjoy the day, people.
And good night. Bang!